Momyul Horen Geikyo. Thanks for being here. Today's video will be a little bit shorter. It's a very short go show. But this go show, it's quite personal and a bit emotional. Oh, let me plug in my laptop before I get complaints about power. All right, hopefully we're all good now. So this go show brings to mind a sangha. A sangha is a word that is often, as many words, misinterpreted or misunderstood in the lexicon of Buddhism. Shakyamuni spoke of sangha early on, before he ever decided to create monasteries or how to describe a monastery, cloisters, enclosed spaces to help train his students, monks, to understand the nature of their body-mind connection and to remove them from the vices of daily life that took their focus away from learning. Their Buddhist practice was very much an early part of learning, again, that body-mind connection and how our mind works in our lives, in order to then begin to understand or gain the capacity to understand the larger world and how we are of dependent origin. So, all of this is to say that sangha does not mean a monastery. It does not mean a collection of an isolated collection of monks, if you will. And it doesn't mean membership. It doesn't mean belonging to an organization. It doesn't mean a club, any of those kinds of constructs that we humans like to make, because as again, we are wont to do, we like to classify, identify, and cubbyhole everything. Sangha isn't a thing so much as it is a state of mind shared. The word itai doshin in Japanese comes to mind. It's more than one word, but itai doshin being many in body but one in mind. So when you watch these videos, when you make comments on the videos, or you email me separately at tlksylvain@gmail.com, and you have questions about Buddhism, or you want to offer something about your practice to me. In other words, the interrelationships that we have in the context of Buddhism, in other words, it's all study, right? So in the context of Buddhist study, our sharing, our asking questions, offering insights, this constitutes sangha, you see? So sangha is less an individuation of people and more an act of whether it's interlocution or it's simply chanting together. The act amongst many bodies is an act that has its own nature and its own energy. And as we, in advanced Mahayana practice, pursue in our practice a bodhisattva practice, a bodhisattva behavior, a bodhisattva paradigm. That touches each and every area of our life experience. And so Sangha is an integral, essential part of that practice. You cannot practice the Bodhisattva way in isolation. That's a contradiction. Do you understand? It is the interaction amongst other bodhisattva, whatever stage that we're at, that is part and parcel of the bodhisattva practice. And as we invite non-Buddhists or curious non-Buddhists into the Buddhist path to discover the Buddha way in their own lives, we invite them into the Sangha, not as members, but as an integral part of this larger organism. Think more like if you're familiar with aspen trees, there's this great discovery that aspen trees, when you see them, like a whole forest of aspen trees, are actually one organism. The trees are just expressions of that one large organism. They're not individual trees. We see them that way above ground, but underground, they're actually a network, a whole network of living roots as an entity. And that entity expresses these individual trees. That would be a good illustration of Itai Doshin. They're many in body, but really one together, one organism, one momentum, inertia. I talk about these terms all the time. I always relate our lives to energy, right? So, in that spirit, Nichiren's great segue, huh? Nichiren's Gosho, this letter that he writes to Endo Simon no Jo, which is believed to be a samurai. They were everywhere at that time. But samurai are important in Nichiren's practice and his spreading of the doctrine of Myoho Renge Kyo, the Lotus Sutra. And because they were such powerful individuals, and powerful not in the Herculean sense, but in the political sense, they affected the lives and influenced the lives of a great many people, even though they themselves worked in the service of, senior political entities, the lords of the property that they were, like kingdoms, in a sense. They were lords themselves over great communities of people, right? So, for Nichiren to have influenced samurai would be like today influencing like governors of states in the United States or prime ministers of provinces and with those kinds of leaders, right? So, this letter was written after Nichiren found out that he was pardoned by the Kamakura Shogunate, and he could leave his isolation in Sado, which must have been a tremendous source of elation and relief to him, being as Sado was such a desolate place. And his, I don't know if you remember, but his little shack that they gave him to live in, you could see right through the boards. Didn't offer insulation against the cold winters there or anything. And he was very much at the mercy in that exile to the support of his followers, his students. Without the support of his students, he would have starved to death. He would have frozen to death. He simply wouldn't have had the means to survive. So this is a short letter, a brief letter to a samurai, thanking that samurai for his protection, whether that be food or clothing or whatever he provided for Nichiren in his exile. Many followers did this, but and there's evidence that Nichiren sent many letters like this when he was informing his followers, his disciples, his inner circle, and everyone who had who was in communication with him that he was now coming back to the mainland. But the spirit is what I want you to pay attention to in this letter. The spirit of Nichiren's gratitude to this samurai is the spirit of Sangha. It's the spirit of saying, not only did you do these facile things, yeah, you sent, you know, thanks, Grandma, you send me a birthday card with a $20 gift certificate in it, thanks. But immediately, as Nichiren always does, he'll talk about these mundane things and immediately quote concepts from the Lotus Sutra or other teachings, because he's trying to always teach that these things have much greater significance, most notably because they're done in the name of Buddhist practice. They're done in the Bodhisattva way, do you see? So here we go. It begins. I recently received an official pardon, and I will return to Kamakura. Can this be the year in which the passage, quote, what I long ago hoped for has now been fulfilled, comes true for me? So right away, this quote is from the Lotus Sutra. It's the second chapter in the Lotus Sutra. So he's relating his mundane earthly experience to something of a nature in the Buddhist teachings that is a profound appreciation and witnessing. It is something we all practice in Buddhism, witnessing what is occurring in the momentum of our lives instead of just letting it go by. You know, a lot of people, most people, you could argue, like Gurdjieff did in the fourth way, said most people just plummet through life. They just keep falling through life, waiting to bump into stuff or for something to happen, for them to actually awaken from sleep and do something until they fall asleep again. And so Buddhism is very much about being awake and attentive to each moment that we are alive and what it is that's occurring in those moments. What are we doing? How are we involved in this thing that we call life? Or are we not involved in just watching it go by, right? So Nichiren is very expert at this and constantly needles at this. You know, this is happening to me. Could it be? And he relates it to the teachings. He gives it even a sense of grandeur at times, just to kind of awaken this spirit of Bodhisattva, right? Next paragraph. Without your protection, could I possibly have sustained my life? So right away, he's saying, you know, whatever gifts you send me, it's not just a matter of sending gifts. It's not just a matter that I'm saying thank you. This is life itself. This the meaning behind your efforts and whatever you've done to support me are life and death issues. They are that big. And so the cause you made is not trivial. So this is a very profound way of thanking someone, right? He goes on, could I have survived to be pardoned? My life's achievements are due entirely to you and to those like you. The Lotus Sutra says, quote, the young sons of heavenly beings will wait on him and serve him. Swords and staves will not touch him, and poison will have no power to harm him, end quote. How reassuring this sutra is. So that quote is from a passage in the Lotus Sutra talking about those who dedicate themselves to the Lotus Sutra. Not him specifically, but him who would be in pursuit of his Buddhahood, his Buddha-ness, through the teachings of the Lotus Sutra. Those who practice Myoho Renge Kyo consistently with resolute conviction. They are protected simply because of their state of being, their life condition. And so this is the Lotus Sutra teaching. So again, he takes an example from his own life and the life of his supporter and says, look what we're doing. Look at the significance of this. Don't just let this slide. This isn't just some facile thing that you did. This is essential to our bodhisattva practice. Again, this is all about sangha. The next paragraph, he goes on, therefore, you must be an envoy sent by the heavenly gods Brahma and Chakra. I will bestow my seals upon you as a promise that you will be reborn in the pure land of Eagle Peak. Or in other writings, Vulture Peak, a great bird. It's a label for a certain mountain that appears in the Lotus Sutra for the basis of this entire huge mental construct of a ceremony in the sky, which ceremony in the sky itself has the meaning of being universal, being everywhere at once. And so this is the pure land. The pure land is what? It's enlightenment. It's your Buddha nature. It's your Buddhahood. Sorry about that. All right. And he goes on, you should take one of them with you in your next existence. When you arrive at Eagle Peak, call out Nichiren, Nichiren, and at that time I will come to meet you. I will write to you again from Kamakura, Nichiren. So, deeply, deeply appreciative to just one of the people who helped to support him through his exile. It's a very profound thank you. And it teaches the significance of our acts, which you would commonly hear as the causes we make. But the causes we make are moment to moment. Even when we're not thinking of what we're doing, thinking, acting, saying, are all very powerful causes. This is why it's so important to stay conscious, to be awake at all times and monitor what it is that we're doing and experiencing. Because in each moment, there are these tremendous things that we're doing. And, you know, we're guilty in samsara of not paying enough attention to that. That's how we slip in and out of our Buddha nature. And where we allow emotions and sufferings to creep in. But if we could somehow, anytime in the moments that we feel alone, remember that we're part of a sangha, part of a greater thing, humanity itself. That can seem like a weight, but in actual fact, you know, the ocean of the earth, if you took it on its own, would be incredibly heavy, right? Water is about 8.4 pounds per gallon. Multiply that by all the gallons in the ocean. I know it's salt water, but just as a general thought, I mean, the weight of it is unfathomable. And yet, it buoys us, right? We float in it. So that analogy I'm giving you for our seemingly solitary existence as a me, a self, an entity, something Buddhism constantly challenges in us, that we are not just this self, this ego, this I. That's a fallacy, that's a delusion. And that from that delusion comes all suffering. It would be like a wave on the ocean thinking of itself as a solitary entity, when in fact the wave would not exist if not for the ocean. The ocean in this analogy is the Sangha. Be revelatory in that you're a wave that is simply a distinction within the entirety. That's very, very profound. And it makes it illogical to feel alone, because you're made of all of this. So how could you possibly be alone? But that moment of me-ness is what allows me to look back upon what I'm from with greater appreciation. It's a perceptive thing, right? Namo myoho renge kyo. That is the entirety. All right. So, like I said, this is a brief one. I've made it as long as I could. Anyway, I hope you got something out of this. It's a very touching letter that Nichiren wrote, and he wrote many of these. We don't have them all, but we can see by this one how he used every opportunity, even in just a simple thank you, to remind people of their Buddha nature, of the teaching of the Bodhisattva way, and the achievement of a Buddha way for all of us. Itai Doshin, Sangha, important concepts to keep in mind. All right. As always, take care of your health. I'm thinking about all of you, and I, too, am deeply appreciative of this opportunity you give me to talk on these subjects with you. Please comment. Let me know if I've passed on, and maybe I've hit on something that piqued your curiosity. Let me know what that is. I may make videos specifically on those subjects, because things come up all the time, and I've been doing this over 40 years, and so I don't think of the questions that maybe you've been doing it a long time and you have different questions from, you know, your life experience is different from mine. And some of you are just starting out and you may have questions. Don't be afraid to ask, because I'll tell you, even after 40 years, I keep revisiting things that I thought I knew. There's constant growth in our experience in this Sangha. So please share your curiosities with me. They help me grow too. Okay. So with that, I'll let you go. And the next one will be a little bit longer, probably a couple of parts. It's called Hell is the Land of Tranquil Light. Interesting. A bit of a conundrum. But anyway, we will begin on that in the next video. I hope I see you there. Thanks again. Bye.